Good morning. So as you know, many of you know that we have started a sermon series under the title, How to Handle Change. And on the first Sunday, we talked about anticipating change, knowing the fact that whether we like it or not, in the world in which we live, changes are going to come. And it would be really appropriate for us to be prepared for any types of changes might come. On the second Sunday, we talked about accepting changes. In other words, when there is a reality of change has already taken place, there is a tendency once in a while within us not to accept those changes. And so by that way, we are creating another reality for us. And we want to live in this another reality, another world, where we think the changes has not taken place yet, but in reality, it has changed. For example, there was this Japanese soldier, and he was fighting in World War II. And he was asked by his commander that, you know, to go to Philippines and fight against Filipino at that time. And so he's still fighting in 1974. He hasn't stopped fighting because the last time he heard commandment from his commander is to fight against Filipino people. And they told him that the war is over, everything is fine, you don't have to fight anymore. He says, no, the last thing I heard from my commander is to fight. And they had to fly this commander. By the time the commander has retired, he has started a grocery store and he's happy in Tokyo. But they had to find that commander, they had to fly him to Japan and then give another command to the soldier and saying that, stop fighting. I command you not to fight anymore. And that time he stopped fighting. And so dear people of God, when we don't accept change, when we don't adjust into this new reality of change, sometimes we are still fighting when the war is still over. And last Sunday we talked about enjoying change. As we talked about the fact that there are some changes, it takes a while for us to come to the place to enjoy it. There are some positive changes we like to enjoy, we like to celebrate, but there are some challenging changes. We struggle with it. Just yesterday, I was talking with my brother. He is a chaplain in San Francisco City, and he was sharing this story with me. In fact, I was there when he was having conversation. So yesterday was Saturday. He's supposed not to be working, but he said, you know, there was some emergency, so he worked. And he received a call from a woman whose husband died at the age of 54. And so, you know, as a chaplain, he had to reach out to her and console her and support her and maybe possibly visit her. And so he calls her and says, well, I heard about your husband, and I know that you must be going through so much of grief, and I want to come and visit you. And she said, no, you're fine. You don't have to visit. I'm fine. Like, okay. And then she's like, well, the reason I'm fine, because I'm happy. It's like, how can you be happy? Your husband just died a few days ago. And she told that my husband was atheist for whole his life till he got the news that he has cancer. And when he heard the news, he tried different methods, but only coming to God was the most comfortable and peaceful for him. And so later part in his life, he drawn closer to God. He found refuge in the scripture. He found connection with God. And in last few months, he became such a strong believer. In fact, he became such a strong believer that he started to tell his story, his testimony to his wife and sharing that, you know, that I was visited by angels last night. And I know that within a week I'm going back to God. But I am so much at peace. And she told that when he died, she was in the room with him. And she felt a strange and wonderful presence of God at his death. And she realized the fact that all his life he was away from God. But in the later part of his life, God drawn closer to him, and he is at the much better place. Now, we say this all the time, right? That he or she is at much better place. In her experience, she knew that. Her husband knew that. And that's why she was able to rejoice and be thankful even in some of the worst change of our life. And so, dear people of God, when we wait upon God, when we anticipate, when we accept, and when we adjust into this new reality, and as we continue walking with God, we will able to rejoice and enjoy some of the worst changes have taken place in our lives. And I know when you hear like you want me to enjoy this change, that seems to be so harsh. That seems to be so insensitive coming from you. I want to encourage you, take your time, be with God. Because there's a scripture which says, in all things, rejoice, be thankful. But all these changes which we talked about, it seems like the changes are happening to us. We have absolutely no control over it, right? We're kicked from the job. Well, we don't want to be, but somebody did it to us. We get into hurricane because that's what's not our plan was, but that's just happened in our life. We got this bad news about sickness. That wasn't our plan in our, as we thought about life, but that just happened to us. In other words, things just keep on happening to us. The changes are happening to us. And we just talked about how to respond to those changes. From today onwards, for today and next Sunday, we are changing a little bit geared toward how that we take control of the change. Amen? Because the scripture says that God has given us the spirit of power, spirit of strength, the spirit of taking over challenges and circumstances. And so the first sermon or the first time we want to talk about be the change. Instead of let changing change you, let us control of our own life and let us be the change. Amen? You know, there is a famous saying of Gandhi. It says that be the change you want to see in the world. Be the change you want to see in the world. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be the change you want to see in the world. Now, what it means that we all want to see this world a loving place. And it says that let us be loving so that that would pass to other person. We want this place to be a forgiving place. Let us receive that forgiveness and let us extend that forgiveness to other people. We want this world to be a compassionate place. And let us be compassionate to ourselves and to our surrounding, and that compassion will pass to other places. In other words, we take charge of the change we want to see happening in this world. Let us take charge. Let us take control. And let us not be just something elsewhere here and there, but we be the church person for the change we want to see happening in this world. And so there are three simple ways I want to encourage us that how we can be changed, how we can change ourselves into the wonderful person God has for us. Number one, know yourself. Again, turn to your neighbor and says, neighbor, know yourself. Now, Lauren Missels is going to come and read scripture for us. And in the scripture, we will read Peter. Once upon a time, he was so fearful person. Once upon a time, we could not trust him. Once upon a time, he would say one thing and he would exactly do other thing. Once upon a time, he would leave God's ministry, Jesus and everything else, and go after fishing. And now we will see that he is a changed person because he knew himself. And let us once again welcome Lauren Missels with such a big clap as he reads scripture for us.
While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." The word of the God for people of God.
There's a funny saying which says, some people make things happen. Some people make things happen. Some people see things happen. And some people ask what's happening. In other words, that third group, people like, yeah, we're not even into the zone of whatever you're talking about. God has invited us, dear people of God, to make change. And in order to make change, the first thing we have to know is about ourselves, about our strength and our weaknesses. Peter, we know from the gospel that he was weak. He was easy to give upon. He was easy to go away. He was easy to be afraid. But now when the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and all the other disciples, now he has become a bold disciple of Jesus Christ. Now he is ready to stand in front of thousands of people and talk about Jesus. In other words, yes, he knew that once upon a time he is weak, but with God he has become strong. Once upon a time, he was just a fisherman. He had no idea about the world. Maybe he had very little understanding about the Old Testament. But as we read here in the scripture, that he knew a lot about the Old Testament because it was the Holy Spirit convicted him. It was the Holy Spirit he changed his life upside down. And so the first thing for us to be the change is let us know our strength and weaknesses. There are areas of strength God has given to us, and there are areas of weaknesses where we need God's help, where we need people's help, where we need other people's counseling in our life. The second one, know your God. Know your God. In the Holy Scripture, it says, Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." In other words, when we know God, we will realize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Amen? There is a greater purpose of God for all of us. There is a reason why God has placed us in this place. There is a reason why God has given us certain experiences in our lives. There is a reason God has given us parents, particular church experience, because I so strongly believe that God has a special plan for all of us. You know, I'm wearing these glasses. Now, these glasses were made specially for me. Did you know that? Like, I think it was 2 years ago, I went to my doctor, and my doctor did a bunch of tests on me and my eyes, and eventually doctor prescribed these particular glasses for me. I choose this frame for me. In other words, this works amazingly good for me. But if I give it to somebody else, it might not work as well it's working for me. In fact, my daughter other day, she tried and she almost felt dizzy. And you and I know that, like, if we actually use wrong glasses, you might get headache and you might get dizzy. And of course, if you drive with that, actually you are harming yourself and you might harm other people. Why? Because these glasses are specially made for me. When they were making, they had this guy in their mind. They were thinking about me. They knew my challenges. They knew my eyesight. They knew how far I can see. They knew how far I cannot see, and all that because they had this best prescription given by my doctor to them, and eventually I got these glasses just for me. Now think about this, dear people of God. If those who make glasses, if they would go in such a pain and they would go in such a detail to make perfect glasses for me, how much more our God will make you a perfect person for a particular task? Amen? Because I so strongly believe that God has a purpose and plan for all of us. And when we know our God and when we see our weaknesses, we can see that, well, I am weak in this area, but guess what? My God can give me strength in this area. Yes, I don't know stuff, but guess what? Holy Spirit can change me and I can know stuff. Yes, I struggle with the scripture once in a while, but guess what? The Holy Spirit can open the scriptures for me. Yes, I have a hard time to talking with people, but guess what? When I'm in presence of God, when I stand in front of people like Peter, it is easy for me to have conversation. And so when you know your God, dear people of God, you will know more about you. And the third one, know your purpose. Know your purpose. Know your purpose. The reason why God has created you, as I said in the beginning, that God has a very special plan for you and for me. And we have some young people, and like they might be wondering, like, what is my purpose in this life? Because I just want to make more money. I want to buy the best car. I want to build a bigger house. And I just want to live happily ever after. What is my purpose? How can I find my purpose? Number one, ask God. God is the creator. Amen? God has created you. If I don't know the purpose of these glasses, I have to go and ask the doctor, when shall I wear this? Like, Rajiv, yeah, when you're driving, maybe you shouldn't wear this one. This is only reading glasses. Because I will get my more information about my glasses through my doctor who has created these glasses for me. And same way, dear people of God, since we are created by God, God knows the special purposes God has for all of us. Because once in a while, when we are at the wrong place at the wrong time, that is unpleasant. How many of us have worked into the places we've hated to go there? I was one of them. I used to work at one place. Like, as soon as I start my car, like, I didn't want to go there. I don't want to go there, but then eventually I do go there. When I'm there, I don't want to be there, but I'm still there. I don't want to do what I'm doing, but I was still doing it. And of course, I was very unhappy. My wife was unhappy. And I'm sure the people around me, they were unhappy because I was misfit. I was at a wrong place. And how many of us have that experience in our life? Thanks. Yeah, many of you raising your hand. And so, dear people of God, we got to ask our God that, God, what is your purpose for me? Because I want to be a right place as a right person so that I can make a right differences in the place where you place me. The second one, ask other people around you. See, we think that we know ourselves. But let me tell you that other people sometimes know you more than you know yourself. You know, I only can see my face in the morning. But then things happen to my face during the day I cannot see, but other people can see it. Other people can give me their wisdom and say, Rajiv, you need to save. You need to take shower or whatever. And so ask other people. There are godly people around you. There are well-wishers around you. They know about you. They know your strength and weaknesses, and they will help you to find purpose for your life. And the third one, find peace and satisfaction in the place where you are at. In other words, if you're unhappy at the place where I was at, even though it provided me some finances and, you know, resources I needed for my life, I had to leave that place and I had to decide, like, this isn't working for me. If I continue doing this, I'm going to be a very destructive person for me and for other people. Because I wasn't having joy and peace and satisfaction which God promises to God's children. And I think some of us have similar experiences in our own life. Find a place which is satisfying to you. Find a place which brings joy to you. Find a place where you think that at the end of the day, you are making a difference for yourself, for your community, and at large for our God. And dear people of God, that is how we know ourselves. That is how we be the change we want to make in this world. What is that change you want to make in this world? I want to give a minute to you as we close our eyes and pray. Think about the change you want to make in this world and how you can be that change first. Are you unhappy? Are you not satisfied at the place where you are at? Ask God that, God, reveal your plan for me. Reveal your purposes for my life. Bring people in my life so that I can have conversation with them. I can talk with them. And bring me to the place where I could be mightily used for your glory so that I can make difference in this world. Not only live for myself selfishly, but live for other people so that I might be satisfied. I might have joy and peace. There is a saying, it says that there is only one life. Soon it will pass. What you've done for Christ will last. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and we praise you. You created us. You are our parent. You know what is good for us. You know what is the purpose you have created for. Reveal that purpose to us. Help us to know our strength and our weaknesses. Help us to spend time with you so that we might know you more. We might know what you like and what you don't like. What is good for us and what is bad for us. Help us to spend time with Scripture. And Lord, in your right time, Lord, bring us to the place where we need to be, where we are joyful, where we're satisfied, where we're at peace, and making a larger difference for your glory. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.